Welcome to the teaching ministry of First United Methodist Church and Pastor Steve Kedon. We offer these messages in the hope that the Word of God will comfort the hurting, confront the comfortable, and create new life in us all. Let us now join together and offer our lives to God in worship.
It's interesting because there are times when you're sitting down in your office and you say, this will be such a good message. And then you get up here and go, I don't know what happened. I don't know where it went. I think those are the moments that I know that God has a sense of humor. Now, I do want to give a little bit of a caveat that the message that we're going to talk about this morning is not because it's Appreciation Sunday, but because of something that happened last Sunday. Last Sunday, especially in the 11 o'clock, Jim Waybright had brought in a whole bunch of men from his troop that served with him in Vietnam, and they shared a little bit about their experience there and how they had lost some of their buddies in Vietnam. And as part of that, it really kind of made it personal, and I began to think about, I said, I wonder how do they feel about our country, about the things that are going on, about, you know, the turmoil, the anxiety, especially having given so much, and whether they feel disappointed. And I began to think about what it is that they really fought for, not that we would all be happy, but that we would have the ability to pursue happiness, that we would have the freedom to make the decisions that we want, that to guide for good or bad, but we have the freedom to determine our destiny. And so I began to think about us as a church, and I wanted to challenge you this morning. I wanted to ask you a question. I mean, do you feel that this is the perfect church? Have you ever heard that old statement? There's an old statement that said, if you ever go and you ever find the perfect church, don't join it, because you'll ruin it. Did you ever hear that? I want to try and challenge you today. I want to take you on a journey and give you the idea that let's think about it differently. I want to challenge you, and hopefully my goal by the end of today, by the end of our time together, and I only have a little bit of time, is to give you at the end the idea that this is the perfect church. Now that sounds pretty crazy, and I know that you're sitting there going, you know, Steve, are you on medication? Do you not see the problems? Do you not see all of the bickering and the fussing and all the other, do you not see that? How in the world can you ever say this is the perfect church? Well, that's the challenge, right? I want to challenge you today to think about the church differently, and particularly your role in it. This morning I want to share a passage. Paul in Corinthians, Paul had to go back to the Corinthians. The Corinthians were bickering and fighting, and there was infighting, and there was tension within it. And Paul goes back and he addresses, what do you think you're doing? I mean, what do you think this is? As we gather, what is the image that you have as we gather as a church? As you become part of this organization, this organism called the church, what is it that we're doing? And Paul lays that out in such a way that sometimes we forget what we're doing. And sometimes we can look at the church and we can get frustrated with what it is. And I think it's because we've lost what it is the church is called to do. We have this image that the church should be perfect. That means flawless. That means it's done with its journey. And that's certainly not the case. So Paul in 1 Corinthians chapter 12 begins to address. And this morning, as we begin to make that movement toward Advent and we begin to build that momentum and we look at all of the great things that are happening, we ought to be able to look and say, we're doing some amazing things. And so my goal by the end is to leave you with the attitude, or at least the impression, give you something to think about, to say, this is the perfect church. Do you believe that? I want to ask you the first thing that comes to your mind. If I were to say, this is the perfect church, what's the first thing that kind of comes to your mind? Is it positive or is it negative? Are you kind of thinking, you know, Steve's a little whacked out today. He's got a big journey. Or do you kind of go, absolutely. Which of those two? Because that'll become important later on. Will you join with me? Because we're going to find the truth about who we are as recorded in the scriptures. Let's now focus our thoughts on what God says through the prophets and through his apostles. This is God's word for my life in this place and at this time. Today, I am a new creation in Christ. I am God's very own, and I know he has a purpose for my life. Reading from 1 Corinthians chapter 12, beginning with the 12th verse, listen to how Paul describes us. He said, just as a body, though one, has many parts, but all its parts form one body, so it is with Christ. For we were all baptized by one Spirit, so as to form one body, whether Jew or Gentile, slave or free, and we were all given the one Spirit to drink. Even so, the body is not made up of one part, but of many. Now, if the foot should say, because I am not the hand, I do not belong to the body, it would not for that reason stop being part of the body. And if the ear should say, because I am not an eye, I do not belong to the body, it would not for that reason stop being part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would the sense of hearing be? If the whole body were an ear, where would the sense of smell be? But in fact, God has placed in the body every one of them just as he wanted them to be. If they were all one part, where would the body be? As it is, there are many parts, but one body. This is the word of God for the people of God. Let us pray. Open my eyes, O God. Help me perceive what I have ignored, to uncover what I have forgotten, to find what I've been searching for. Remind me that I don't have to travel far to discover new and exciting things, for miracles abound. Blessings and holiness are within me. Amen. There is an old story about a man that was shipwrecked. And he was on this deserted island, and he was there for about 5 years when he finally saw a ship passing by. And so he waves the ship down, ship comes over, they come on the shore to rescue him, and they say, they notice that he has built for himself three different huts. So why did you spend all this energy building three huts? He said, well, this hut is where I live and where I work, and this is where I spend most of my time. This building over here, this is where I go to church. So, oh, what's the third one? And he said, that's where I used to go to church. And I thought about that, and I thought, you know, do we come away thinking that there ought to be this image of the perfect church? And by that I mean that we are looking for a place where people are flawless. Or are we looking for a place where we can grow? Have you ever tried to go, let's say, imagine that you feel sick and somebody says, you have got to get to the hospital. You say, okay, I know that I need to get healed because my body, there's something wrong and I need some assistance. And so you ask the driver, take me to the healthiest hospital that you can have, where there are the fewest sick people that you can find. Well, that's almost a paradox in many respects, an oxymoron, because hospitals were created to help sick people get well, and when they get well, they move on, and new sick people come in. See, I believe that whenever we look at a church and we begin to pick out its flaws, and we begin to say, oh, you know what's wrong with that? The music isn't quite right there. It's too cold. The pews are too hard. It goes too long or it goes too short. It's not in the right time frame. When we begin to pick out and you begin to look at all of the flaws, you are not looking at the flaws of the body. You are articulating flaws in yourself. Something about you that is unsettled and uneasy. See, I love this quote that I've changed it. ever so slightly, but we see the church not as it is, but as we are. When you can gather in a room filled with strangers and experience the holy presence of God, that's church. If you can gather in a group that is bickering and arguing about something, and you can be at peace and settled, that is church. The presence of God among you, working within you. Whenever we pick out all of the flaws, or we say, we should be doing more of this, or we should be doing less of that, you're telling me more about where you are spiritually than where the body is. And so I want to begin to think about and change that dynamic and say, this is the perfect church. If we assume that this is the perfect church, if God came in and said, this is the perfect church, and deep down, I believe it is the perfect church. Not for everybody, but God has created this community for the process of developing disciples, and that is happening. Whether or not you are part of the process is another matter. But this is the perfect environment to make that happen. This is the perfect church for those who aren't. If you come to the community, if you come to this environment with a need to grow spiritually, to recognize that God wants to do something more in your life, this is the perfect place to begin. This church is a place where the broken people begin to be mended in a beautiful way by Christ with gentleness and grace and gratitude. As we gather, this is the place where imperfect people begin to grow and change and develop. They are welcomed here. Not everybody will understand that. And not everybody in Paul's time understood that. But Paul said, just because I'm a foot and not the hand doesn't mean I'm not part of the process, that we're all not part of this journey. Oftentimes, we think of perfection as the end state. When we're perfect, no more change is necessary. And that's just not going to happen. That's unrealistic. So let me give you my definition, or the one that has been shared with me. What is perfect? What is perfection? What does Christian perfection look like? Robert Coleman, who taught at Asbury for like 30 years, shared this, and it has always stuck with me. He said one day he was out in the yard working in his garden, and it was a hot summer day, and his shirt was just soaked with sweat, and the sweat's pouring off him, and he's dirty. And he said his little boy, who was like 5 or 6 at the time, from a second-story window, sees his father working hard in the garden. And his little boy goes downstairs, pulls a chair up to the kitchen, grabs a dirty glass out of the sink, fills it with lukewarm water, and takes it out to his dad. He said, that is perfect. Was the water what he was looking for in a dirty glass, lukewarm? No. It was the attitude and the love with which it was given. You see, so often we look for what is the result? Is that exactly what I had wanted? Without focusing on what was the attitude with which it was given. If your attitude is right, if your desire is pure, this is the perfect place for you. This is the perfect church for those who aren't. Second, this is the perfect church for those who see it. For those who see it. In my reading this week, in Matthew chapter 13, Jesus is looking at everybody that is gathered, and he said, you know, these people's hearts have grown hard. They've grown callous. They no longer see. They no longer hear. If they would open up their ears, they would understand, and I would heal them. Blessed are you when you can look at anyone and see wonderful things in them. The church allows that to happen. This is the vehicle that allows it to happen. Whether you choose to take advantage of it or not is entirely up to you. The church is not here to force you to be perfect. It is here to give you the opportunity to pursue perfection. And that is what we're doing. We are allowing you the opportunity. The burden is squarely on you. If this is not the perfect church for you, then maybe you need to do some self-reflection. This is the perfect church for those who see it. And last, this is the perfect church for those who want it. We have opportunities for you in missions, in study, in growth, and in service for you to get out and to grow and to become like Christ, to live out your vows. Those opportunities exist. This is the vehicle to make that possible. And so when I go back and I thought about those veterans that came, they fought and they died that we might have the opportunity to pursue happiness, not that it would be guaranteed to you. The church is here for allows you to pursue holiness, not to guarantee that you would find it in yourself and in others, but to allow you the possibility to pursue it. This is the perfect place to allow you to grow if you so choose. So finally, let me give you the last little bit of this nugget. What are the marks? What are the marks of a perfect church? And why do I think this is the perfect church or a perfect church? The first thing that you will always find in the perfect church is Christ. Christ is the focus. Jesus is the language of the church. You should belong to an environment that you constantly hear the name of Jesus that is elevated, that God's message and his mission is being elevated. That in every Bible study, every Sunday school, every staff meeting, every council meeting, every committee meeting, the presence of Jesus is guiding our thoughts and our actions. Christ is the central focus of all that we do. The second thing, and this is the hard one, the second thing that you should always find is you should always find a place that challenges you. Did you notice that throughout the scriptures, the New Testament, Jesus is constantly saying things like, the kingdom of God is like a banquet, like a sower. He's teaching, he's challenging them to think differently about their world and about their lives. In a healthy church, in a perfect church, you should be challenged to think about where you are and what you're doing. That's a fine line. But you should find a place where you are able to grow. We have so many ministries here that enable you, if you want to do that, if you want to pursue perfection, we enable that to happen. You can be challenged to do things that you've never done before. But guess what? It's hard. It's not going to be easy. And if you're looking for a comfortable church, if you're looking for a status quo church, if you want a church that isn't going to ask anything of you and demand anything of you, then you haven't found Jesus at all. You find where Christ is, you will find a challenge. And finally, you will find a place that is compassionate. Take the love that you have in your heart for Jesus and spread it around. Taking a little twist on that phrase from the musical Hello, Dolly. Grace, pardon expression, is like manure. It isn't any good until you spread it around. Your faith for you, where you are, isn't really worth much unless you're able to exercise it in the lives of others. And so this morning as we gather, I want you to think about this place as the perfect church. It becomes the perfect place for you when you can enter this sanctuary with everything that's going on, every chaos that's going on, people that are in different places, people that look like a foot and people that look like a hand. And you can gather, and as a community together, we can embrace one another and say to God in prayer, not my will, but thy will be done. When that happens, this has become perfection. The choice for you is to decide what kind of church you're looking for, because you see the church not as it is. There are pockets of perfection that I see every week, and there are pockets that need work. You see the church not as it is, but as you are. And I invite you to be a part of this perfect church. I got to tell you, I'm really excited today, not only because of the staff appreciation, but because we have people that have taken that call and said, I want to do that. I want to be a part of a perfect church.